Radio Buddhist Youth Association. Good afternoon, everyone. You are listening to the sound of universal compassion. Today is the 4th of August. We'll continue listening to Master Tenjin Chosen's previous program, Meditation, Dying, and Karma. And please enjoy.
This show is brought to you by the Buddhist Youth Association, bringing Buddhism to the community of the Waikato. We also give away a range of free English or Chinese Buddhism books, MP3, or tapes on Buddhism. If you'd like one, please send a letter with $3 worth of stamps in an envelope to P.O. Box 82146, Highland Park, Howick, Auckland. Or you can phone 09271-3377. Buddhist Youth Association, respectful, beneficial, empowering. Whether you've heard the program before or not, welcome, and I hope we'll spend a fruitful half hour together today. Those of you who were with us last week will remember how we spoke about the conditions that make the best type of human life to practice the Dharma. I'm not going to run through all those again, but they include things like not being born in difficult situations, like in the animal, preta, hell or God realms, having all your senses, having faith in the teachings, and so on. For us Westerners, it might be a bit difficult to think about being born as an animal or in a hell. His Holiness the Dalai Lama has said it may be better to imagine being born in a really difficult situation on earth, like in drought-stricken Africa, where people can't find much to eat or drink and are always fighting and killing each other, or in places like the Taliban-controlled areas of Afghanistan. When I was in Dharamsala in India, I saw many beggars only intent on getting enough to eat each day. Even when His Holiness the Dalai Lama was teaching, they would not come to listen. They only wanted to harass the Westerners who'd come from all over the world to take the teachings. So even on earth, we can be born in so many situations that prevent us from following the spiritual path. And being in a country like New Zealand, where conditions are so good, it's really very fortunate. One great Tibetan master has said that New Zealand is the best place on earth to practice the Dharma because the outward conditions are so good. I know lots of New Zealanders complain. Some even say that we live in a third world country, but I don't think they know what living in a third world really is. If we have the kind of mind that always sees the negatives, or even makes up negatives where there aren't any, then we make a place that is actually like a heaven into a hell, just by our attitude. Whereas if we really appreciate our good fortune, not only will our lives be happier, we'll be able to make spiritual progress by using this great opportunity to practice. But spiritual practice can be difficult sometimes. At first it's fascinating, but then meditating every day, changing our habits, keeping ethics when everybody else seems to be having fun doing whatever they want, and so on, can later seem like hard work. And it goes on for the rest of our life, not just until the end of next week. So we need something to spur us on, and often considering our excellent situation and how difficult it is to get this situation again can be that spur. Now, as I've done before, I'm going to allow some time for meditation on the topics we cover. In the Tibetan tradition, analytical meditation, in which you think over a subject again and again to really make an impression on the mind, is considered very important. Meditation is defined as familiarizing the mind. That means making the mind more familiar with everything positive and steadily weakening whatever is negative. By positive, we mean all that leads to long-lasting happiness and peace, and by negative, we mean whatever leads us into dissatisfaction and misery. You may then ask how breathing meditation comes into it. Well, before we can make a strong impression on the mind, we need to both make it very concentrated and to understand how it works. Focusing on something like the breath and trying to keep the mind there helps accomplish both of these. In the same way as we train a dog by making it do the same thing over and over again, we can train the mind by continually bringing it back. The longer the mind can concentrate, the more settled it becomes, and the more it is able to penetrate an object deeply. Also, if we can keep the mind alert and mindful, not allowing it to run away with whatever comes up, it becomes easier to see how it makes up its stories, gets caught up in things, and often leads us astray. So it's a good idea to start every meditation session with a breathing meditation. Now, if you want to know more about this, we've made a meditation CD from a previous program, and I'll be happy to organize you a free copy if you write to me at Trashigomong Buddhist Center, 31 McIntyre Road, Mongeri Bridge, Auckland. That's Trashigomong Buddhist Center, 31 McIntyre Road, Mongeri Bridge, Auckland. But now let's do a short breathing meditation. The aim is to keep your mind on the breath, and when it wanders, to bring it back again. That is all. Don't worry if it wanders, that's natural. Just gently and without any comment, bring it back and concentrate again. It's very important not to have expectations. If you expect to get a still mind, it will probably just run all over the place and make you frustrated. Then the whole exercise will be a waste of time. Just bring the mind back onto the breath and keep it there, letting whatever else happens, happen. The mind will, of its own accord, eventually start settling down. Maybe not in this meditation, but if you develop a consistent practice, in due course it will. Now, when meditating, it's most important to keep a straight back. If you slump, you will just get dopey or go to sleep. Whereas if you're too rigid, the mind will not settle. So the back must be comfortably straight. Otherwise, just sit comfortably. You can keep your eyes open or closed as you wish. His Holiness recommends keeping the eyes slightly open, gazing down the length of your nose to a point in front of you. However, if that point is on a very colorful carpet, it may be too distracting. It may help to count the out-breaths up to 10 and then go backwards, back to 1 and so on. If you lose the count, just go back to 1 and start again. The counting is only to help keep the mind on the breath. It has no significance of its own. Okay, so now sit comfortably and with a straight back, bring your mind onto the breath. We're going to play a soothing background chant, but if it disturbs you, please turn the volume of your radio down. now come out of meditation. What did you find? Perhaps thoughts came thick and fast and you found it difficult to keep focused on the breath. That's quite usual and nothing to get frustrated about. Sometimes when people start meditating, they say that instead of calming their mind, meditation makes it more busy. Actually, they're just noticing the busyness for the first time. But perhaps your mind settled down quite easily. Well, that's fine, but don't get stuck on it. Next time, your mind might decide to go on walkabout just to be contrary. So just approach each meditation session with no expectations. Now let's do an analytical meditation on this precious human rebirth. I will lead you through it step by step. The idea in this type of meditation is to go over it again and again until a strong conviction takes hold. Then stop analyzing and sit with the conviction until it starts to fade. Then start the analysis again. Continue this until the conviction is so firm that it won't change even under duress. Well, we can't do all that in the limited time we have, so we'll just go through the meditation once to give you a framework to work with. And please remember, this is just a framework. The best type of analytical meditation is based on your own experience, so use that as much as possible. For instance, when I was staying in India in the monastery, I occasionally had to go to the nearest city, where I often saw an old beggar woman who couldn't walk or talk, sitting in the dust, crying out for small change. She was a thin, wretched creature, straggly and dirty, because she had to crawl everywhere in the filthy streets, and I don't think she had anybody to look after her. She's a good example of the kind of situation I could be born in a coming life, and it's a great wake-up call to get on and practice. So similarly, please find instances in your own experience to use in your meditation, and that will make it more meaningful. Also, motivation is very important. If we can make our motivations positive, usually to benefit others, the action will have a positive result. But if we are careless or wish to harm others, the action will have a negative result. So before starting a meditation, we must make sure our motivation isn't tainted by some kind of worldly desire, like wanting to be thought a great spiritual practitioner. Oh, look at me, I'm such a good meditator. I can even sit for half an hour. Such a motivation is just self-serving, and in the long run, it will not bring good results, even though someone might give us a bundle of $100 notes because we convince them we're some kind of great yogi. So before we do this next meditation, let's set a good motivation. The best is to attain enlightenment so we can help ourselves and all others get out of samsara, just as the Buddha did. Please try to generate this motivation, but if that's too difficult, at least have the motivation to get yourself out of samsara. Thank you. Now let's do the meditation. Imagine what it would be like to be born as a beggar in India. You don't know whether you will eat from day to day. You live on the dusty streets, which dogs, cows, and even people use as a toilet. You only have one set of rags to wear day in and day out. Imagine what it must be like to be spurned, even kicked when begging for just a few cents for something to eat. If you get sick, you get very little help, and you know you will have to beg until you die. Think what it would be like to be born in such a situation. Be like to be born in a place like Afghanistan under the Taliban. You have to follow the government line or you will go through the most horrible type of punishment. The way you behave is severely restricted, and you certainly will have a very hard time if you believe in Buddha and his teachings. You may even be killed. Think what it must be like to live in a situation like that. Imagine living in a place like Darfur, where roaming militia torture, rape and kill people indiscriminately, where it's difficult to leave your home just to get food and water, which is scarce anyway, and where the environment is harsh and filled with wild animals and poisonous snakes, insects and so on. Imagine being born into that kind of situation.
Oh,
remember New Zealand. We have a comparatively liberal government that allows us to believe and practice as we wish. The people are generally friendly and tolerant, and the environment is benign and green, with no wild animals or poisonous creatures. Food and shelter is easy to get. This is such a good opportunity to really make some progress on our spiritual path, and we'd better use it well, as it won't come easily again. Dedicate any positive energy we've created to your purpose and come out of meditation. Whenever you have a reluctance to practice, such a meditation will help to inspire you again, as will the meditation we will continue with next week, the meditation on impermanence and death. But now we've run out of time, so thank you for joining us today, and I hope you'll do so again next week. Goodbye.